Tuesday, August 2nd. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry Parker Snyder, Director of Policy Analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute, recently wrote, "When it came to Alabama's response to the Supreme Court's decision overruling Roe v. Wade, it's hard to imagine a more seamless transition to an abortion-free state." Around 9:15 a.m. on Friday, June 24th, news of the court's decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization overruling Roe v. Wade reached Alabama. At 10:37, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall released a statement promising that his office was immediately filing motions to dissolve any injunctions against pro-life bills held up in the court system. These would have been dissolved before pro-life measures could go into effect in Alabama. Just before 4 p.m., U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson lifted the injunction on the Human Life Protection Act, which bans elective abortions in Alabama, after a conference call with A.G. Marshall. With very limited exceptions, such as for the life of the mother, abortion is now illegal in Alabama.
The opportunity to take the life of a child does not exist in the state of Alabama. We will have to deal with that. That undermines benevolent public policy. We ought to always be ready to acknowledge when it's been done well. And I believe the API is right to do this article. As soon as the Dobbs case opinion became public, our Attorney General went right into motion to take what had been passed by our legislature and free it up from the injunction that had been imposed upon it, and then to implement this as public policy, whereby elective abortions were removed. In other words, the fact that the child's life may be unwanted, its origin unseemly, does not matter. We are going to protect the life of that child, and we're going to bring resources to bear for the women who are in such crisis pregnancy as well. And, by the way, the legislative initiatives also include focused prosecution, not upon the women who are in crisis, but upon the agencies that would be promoting the elective abortion or engaged in such elective abortions. So there is focused prosecution, there is a comprehensive affirmation of life, there is the recognition of a medical triage in a case of a woman's life and treating the life of a woman. It's well done, well worded, well focused, narrow in the sense it's not trying to take on every other issue. You not only had the legislators that exercised what I believe is competency, consistency, and integrity, so that they had in place when that opinion came out, they were ready to implement it. We then had an attorney general who also acted with competency, integrity, and intentionality to remove the obstacles from its implementation. And then when other legislators who are actually promoting abortion in our state, trying to create a way in which the law could be diminished or detoured, then our governor refused to open that door. Our governor also acted with intentionality in terms of the sanctity of life. The executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch acting with competency, acting with integrity, acting with intentionality, staying focused on the issue, and the result is a state that is a pro-life sanctuary. All of that was done under the leadership of men and women that I actually know who are professing believers, and their policy and their performance was highly affected by their biblical world and life views.
Harry, let me ask you a question that we know is going to come up from the left because it has in the past. Seemingly, people that would be against the Alabama Policy Institute platforms will try to put those people in what they think is a dilemma by saying, you Christians talk about being pro-life, and yet at the same time, you're for capital punishment, the death penalty. Harry, isn't that inconsistent?
Tom, it's interesting and, by the way, appropriate that you should surface this so that we can prepare our listeners for that pushback, and it does come. It came to me one day when I was engaged in bringing a public protest against the initiative to build a Planned Parenthood abortuary clinic in the city of Birmingham just a few years ago. As I was being interviewed by a reporter, she then said to me, "Let me ask you a question. Do you support the death penalty?" And I said, "In appropriate situations with a particular process in place, yes." And she said, "Well, how can you call yourself pro-life when you promote a policy of taking someone's life? I do not believe in vigilante justice, that anyone can take someone's life. When God established the government, he gave it the power of the sword. That's a lethal weapon. Every time a policeman with rules of engagement protects someone by taking someone's life, that's capital punishment. When we arm our servicemen and women to protect this nation, that's an act of capital punishment. The bearing of the sword is first seen in the garden when the angel comes with the sword and drives Adam and Eve out because of their rebellion against the kingdom of God. The sword to protect life within the boundaries of a citizenry is now put in the hands of the government, and its proper use in terms of capital punishment is established in the days of Noah in the Noahic covenant, when God declares, if man, male or female, takes the life of another premeditated, with a proper judicial process, guilt is determined, then that person must forfeit their life. You have to forfeit your life if you took someone's life. That is the appropriate punishment and statement concerning the sanctity of life. So I believe capital punishment in a proper court system with proper process is a statement of the sanctity of life. We will not allow murder. And dare I bring it home to this policy, we will not allow you to murder a baby in the womb who is unwanted, imperfect, or inconvenient. We are going to protect life. Nor can you walk up and take someone's life because they have something you want or because you're angry at them. You cannot do that. That means that the death penalty actually is a statement of the sanctity of life. It is not at odds with the sanctity of life. It is consistent with the sanctity of life. Thus, we have a court system for its process, which is accountable to the people, and the constitutional law for its proper application. So, Tom, if I can come back full circle, I want to avoid any pride because that's sin, but I want to be respectful, and I want to be grateful to the Lord and his kind providence through the salt and light of the witness of truth in our state. I am grateful to be in a state who now protects the life of the preborn child with consistency, competency, and integrity, recognizing there are crisis pregnancies and we want to provide resources for them, but the solution to those pregnancies is not to take the life of the child. The solution to that pregnancy is to bring the deeds of love, mercy, and justice into the citizenry of the state of Alabama. And I'm grateful for that public policy that's now been affirmed, as was stated in the article, seamlessly through the integrity, intentionality, and competency, as well as compassion of the majority of the members in our legislature, our judiciary, the executive branch of the government, including the leadership of our Attorney General, Steve Marshall. But it's not only the sanctity of life our state needs to address. It's also the sanctity of gender, the sanctity of sex, the sanctity of family, and the sanctity of marriage. So let's press on, bringing the salt and light of a biblical world and life view through the consistent engagement of Christians in the public square. And thankfully, we can be a part of that with Today in Perspective.
If you would like more information on the excellent work of the Alabama Policy Institute, go to their website, alabamapolicy.org. If you would like more information and more access to Today in Perspective, the best way to do that is by downloading the Briarwood app. It is available at your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. The app is yours at no cost. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.